This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes. The wildfire that started outside the village of Tyonic on the west side of Cook Inlet has switched course in shifting winds and now is bearing down on the community of Beluga, about 10 miles from Tyonic. Fire crews worked overnight to build a fire line between Beluga and the fire. Yesterday, about 100 Tyonic residents were evacuated. Most are staying in the Tyonic Native Corporation Lodge and in fish camps south of the village. That fire has covered about 1.5 square miles. A wildfire near Soldotna that started near the Funny River on the Kenai Peninsula has burned across 31 square miles, or 20,000 acres. The State Division of Forestry says that fire is burning along the shore of Testamina Lake. No evacuations have been ordered. Both fires started Monday. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is providing more than $2.5 million in grants to protect homes in Galena from flooding. Alaska's two U.S. senators say the funds will be used to elevate 16 or 17 homes to avoid future flooding on the Yukon River. An ice jam last year caused extensive flooding in the community. With the return of marine mammals and migratory birds to the Bering Strait region, subsistence hunters are struggling to find certain kinds of ammunition. KNOM's Zachariah Hughes reports.
Last month at the Native Store in Gamble on St. Lawrence Island, Assistant Manager Julian Apatiki said there are several popular calibers they can't get in stock.
The 300, 303, 222s, 243, I think.
Store manager Mary Ungut says not only are bullets used hunting seal, ugruk, and other animals hard to get, but they're more expensive.
Yeah, we've also been having a hard time getting some 22 shells. It seems that the price is increasing too.
Gamble is hardly the only place in Alaska where it's hard to get 22 caliber bullets. A recent article in the Alaska Dispatch described bare shelves and early morning lines outside Anchorage stores to snag boxes the day shipments arrive. And that demand downstate has created a choke point for supplying rural communities where ammo is an essential tool for subsistence.
If we were to get, say, 30 cases of that 22 ammo, basically what we'd have to do with the 40 stores that have ordered it is we would divide it amongst the stores. Or if there was less, we would divide it based on the need at the time.
Bill Williams manages distribution for ANICA, the Alaska Native Industries Cooperative Association. The company supplies 40 native stores and communities from the Aleutians to Kaktovik, including the one in Gamble. Part of Williams' job is anticipating inventory needs around the subsistence calendar and shipping the right bullets at the right time.
We would prioritize the subsistence needs. If people are ugruk hunting and we have 223 ammo in and don't have enough for everybody, it would go to the people that are hunting the ugruks at the time. So that's basically how we delegate it out.
Williams has had to venture beyond his Anchorage distributors to Washington State for bullets bound for village stores. Rural communities are getting hit with the tail end of a shortage created after the Sandy Hook shootings in December 2012, which sparked national ammo runs and stockpiling. But because ANICA, like many other rural retailers, places bulk orders months in advance, there was a slight buffer.
And so 2 years ago, we still had an order coming when all the stores in Anchorage ran out of ammunition. So we did have an installation because we did get a big shipment of ammo coming in. But as the summer went through and then going into the spring or the fall last year was really bad. And then this spring's been really bad, but it's starting to come back around.
The shortage is easing, if not disappearing, completely. Shotgun shells, 223s, and other common calibers for subsistence are back on shelves in Nome and Gamble. But higher prices, scarcity, rationing, and waiting periods have rural hunters wondering if this is the new normal for ammo. For KNOM in Nome, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
A federal facility in Anchorage that houses research materials and government records from Alaska will close next month. The Anchorage Daily News reports the materials will be shipped to Seattle, where they'll be digitized. The move was opposed by Alaska's congressional delegation and local historians, who say moving records to Seattle will make their jobs more difficult. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.